Oh my goodness, Vanya Arslanian, I'm glad that we're having this conversation. I wasn't sure if it was going to happen.
Hi, Mike Jensen. I know. Oh my God, I'm going to cough. I'm just like induced by your scratchy voice.
I know. Knock on everything. It's a sign. I tend to get sinus infections in the spring and in the fall.
Yeah,
the weather turns from dry to damp and damp to dry. So it's happening kind of fast, which is good. Sometimes you get stuck in one area for like a week. I've only had it for like 3 days and we're already in like the chest area. So that feels progress at least. So don't worry about me, listeners. I'm going to be just fine.
Okay. That's good. Yeah. What happens to me at the turn of every season is, or the major, two major seasons is I'm like a snake, like all of my skin sheds basically. So I'm like dealing with dry skin. I don't know about you listeners out there, but the last time I took a shower when I got out, I tried to mix lotion with oil just because my skin is so dry. If anybody has any hacks, let me know.
Oh yeah, I'm so oily. I can't even put lotion on. It's just, I'm just an oily creature. Vanya, it's been a while. How's it going? I don't have like anything major to talk about. I have like bullet points of like random things that have happened in the last little bit.
But you
had like a whole like spring break with the kids.
There were
parents involved too, right?
That's right. Yes. Well, this week is just basically getting back to the swing of being home and you know, having the hangover from being on holiday. And we drove. Well, we are gonna. Our topic is gonna be spring.
We'll get more into spring.
So I'll get more into our actual trip because I have some fun little tidbits. But we had a great time. It was so nice. We drove 16 hours each way with two children in the car, and it went great until the last, like, once you get to Sacramento, because we drove from LA to Oregon, Oregon back to LA, and then from Sacramento back to LA, it was like, it's just not cute. It's pretty ugly. And everything's intense. So, but no, we had a fabulous time. It was real. And I really highly recommend doing that drive in the spring because most of it's green and it's beautiful. And Mount Shasta is gorgeous. I love it. I think I've like done the American road trip thing with my family now. I feel proud. We did 32 hours in total.
That's amazing. Boom. I'm actually really, really, I'm jealous. When we get to our facts later on, I'm going to talk a little bit about traveling.
Ooh, fun.
I love that. I've been thinking a lot, you know, about the Oregon coast because I used to go there every summer, Oregon or Washington. And, you know, I haven't gone for the past few summers because of COVID. And then I don't know when I'll go again. Like, I don't know when that next trip will be. I'm going to take control of your family and be like, we're going on a family vacation
and we're going
to the Oregon coast.
No, Mike, we walked by the place that you stay at, the Worldmark. In Seaside.
Oh, really? Where were you? Oh, you were in Seaside.
We were
I want to go back
Gearhart,
so
which is so cute, by the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
More fun things to talk about. But like we had rented a house and it was, you know, where we stayed was a little more like maybe the elderly people, but it was wonderful. Uh-huh. It was great. When we walked down to the beach and like it's kind of like the trendy Seaside area. It's your typical you know, holiday beach area. By the way, the locals are they're spicy, just like at Woodstock. You know, it's like those towns that are just for holiday. People are spicy. But anyways, I saw where you normally stay and I was like, oh my God, it's like on the beach practically.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. It's a great location. I am going to go back to those places.
Make it so. Manifest.
Yeah, I used to know a lot of stuff along the Oregon coast. I definitely know Gearhart. There was a place we stayed once called, oh shoot, now it's gonna not come to my mind and I'm gonna feel bad. But it was very sort of out of the way. No one was really nearby, but it was sort of on a little bit of a cliff.
Ooh.
Too. So anyways. Beautiful. I'm very jealous of your traveling. I'm gonna join you sometime soon.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Figure some vacation stuff out. Yeah, it's been interesting in New York. You know, we had that shooting in the subway happened a few days ago. Yeah, it was pretty, you know, New York, I love New York and I in general feel very safe here. And it is strange when something happens and then you're sort of like aware of how, you know, it's a thing that happened one time. It's always scary when something like that happens because you just think like, is it going to inspire people or is it going to set off some kind of crazy trend? But you know, I still take the subway all the time. I think that my biggest thing was that I definitely, like 12 times that day, thought, oh, I should call my mom and make sure that she knows that I'm okay.
Yeah.
Like, it definitely, like, happened over and over and over again. And I guess that's just going to happen for a while, yeah. You know, where it's just going to be the first thing that I think about.
Absolutely.
To change the subject entirely, I have an update on my crazy tooth.
Oh, God. Okay. Yes. Great. I'm dying to know.
It came out. It was not a full tooth. It was like a little fragment. It was not large. It was not tiny. But yeah, one day I was like, that feels a little loose. And I just kind of like popped it out. Yeah, it's pretty great. It wasn't like, I mean, you know, I don't want to gross everyone out. It wasn't super bloody. Like it was, you know, it was just, I don't know if it's just like a fragment from when I had my wisdom teeth removed.
Probably.
Or something that has formed since then. Like I'm, you know, the next wave of human nature.
I was going to say, did like your brother come out with it? Like or something, you know, like, you know, how yeah, there's like a twin.
Exactly.
A twin was holding onto your hair in your tooth. I'm just kidding. That's disgusting.
But yeah, so that passed along. We also had the Grammys. Did you watch any of the Grammys?
I didn't, but I was like the whole time I saw things coming up, I'm like, oh God, I hope Mike watched the Grammys. Because I want if you want to give any kind of a summarization, I'm fine with that. But it's up to you, you know.
It was really, really fun. I thought they did a great job with this ceremony. The Grammys are sort of to Annabelle what the Oscars are to me. Like she listens to, like we listen to the 10 like record of the year nominees before the show started, and like she listens to all of that. So that was really, really fun. I just thought it was a really well produced show. I'm trying to think of like highlights. I mean, you know, Brandi Carlile just always sounds amazing.
I love her so much.
Yeah, her voice is insane to me. Like just what her instrument is so pure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it was just it was a really well-produced show. I probably should have taken some notes because I'm not really thinking of all the little pieces
now. We can
now,
talk about it next week. Why don't we talk about it next week? Because I actually, if there's a recording, I want to try and watch it because it looked joyful. Everything looked fun.
It was just
and
fun.
Joyful.
Yeah, it was fun and like, you know, Gaga and it was just a fun like celebration of music. And of course, that's what the Grammys are. And
yeah.
And I would have liked for Lil Nas X to win something. I don't know if he won anything on that night, but he didn't win any of the major awards, which I was kind of like, well, that's kind of a bummer. But, you know, it was still a super fun show. And yeah, I had a great time. I've seen a few shows, actually. I had a Broadway double feature yesterday.
Oh, my God. Wait.
Yeah.
Can we talk about our friend's Broadway debut?
Yes, that's definitely on my list here.
I'm very excited about it. I was like doing everything in my power not to text you the entire night.
Yeah, so I went and saw Deborah Messing's in a new play that just opened recently. I saw that yesterday, and it's a fine play, but she's really good in it. Like I would say the highlight was her performance.
Okay.
And then I saw an older play that I've been looking forward to for now a couple of years because it was supposed to happen last spring. Yeah, I saw How I Learned to Drive Paula Vogel play. It's what she won the Pulitzer for like 30 years ago. Gosh, it was 91, I think, was when it first came out.
Totally. I did scenes from that in college. I think
you know, it's so funny. I didn't know it at all. I knew the very, very, very basic premise of it, but I didn't know any of the details. I'd never read it or seen it. It's Mary Louise Parker and David Morse who did it off-Broadway in 91, and they both won all the off-Broadway awards that you could win for it. And then they just brought it to Broadway.
Well, cool.
It's a pretty interesting play. It's some rough material, but I enjoyed it. Is that the right word? And
yeah,
and she's, man, oh man. I mean, you know how I feel about Mary Louise Parker. That woman is just,
she's an alien.
Yeah, so. She kind of is. Yeah, in like the best sense of it. Like she's really is otherworldly. I went with our friend Ben Cherry had gotten us tickets, so we had some. Yeah, it was really, really fun. Ben. I had a good time. I might need to go see it again. I might need to go like now that I've like acclimated, I might need to go see it one more time.
You're like not nervous just to be in the same room with her for a little bit.
Yeah, she is something else. And then what you were referencing, our friend Patrick, and he does a podcast with Jillian, and they had their Broadway show, and it was really, really fun. Yeah, it was a blast. They had a whole like opening number, and like it was ornate. It was choreography and lighting design and sound design, and it was really, really fun, and I was really, really happy for them. And they were both, their chemistry and like their back and forth is so natural. Yeah, they're just great together, and it's a really super fun show. And then it had a big closing number too that you could tell that they were having a blast with, and they got to do their kick line. And
I saw that.
And then it was a big party at Patrick's beautiful, beautiful apartment afterward.
Nice.
And yeah, it was just a really fun night. And I was really happy for them. I was really, really proud. I mean, that sounds, I don't know if that sounds condescending, but you know what I mean?
Like, I mean, as one of his first like producers, I'm just, you know, podcast producers, I feel like, oh my God, baby's all grown up.
Yeah. Like, so it was really fun. Yeah, it was really fun. We had a great time. I think they had a great time too.
Amazing.
So there you go. That's kind of my week. Should we get into what we're digging this week?
Let's do it.
Because I don't have a thing. Okay. I have a sort of a topic, you know, not our topic, but I have a topic of the things that I'm of digging this week.
If
I could be so vague. I'm just really digging actresses in miniseries. And we had kind of started talking about this as we were talking about the Oscars. You know, did you watch all of Pam and Tommy?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I did.
Yeah.
I really thought that she was incredible.
It, you know, I have mixed feelings about the show.
Sure.
I have mixed feelings about the production of it. I know that Pamela Anderson was not a part of it and was not happy that it was happening.
I think it's too bad because I feel like she gets a lot of sympathy. I mean, I feel such sympathy for her with the way that the actress presented her.
Yeah, I really, you know, of course, don't ever want to tell anyone how to feel about something. But I can't help but think that she'd be... I don't know, happy with the... Lily James is just so good.
And good.
The innate, like, kindness and sympathy that character and that portrayal brings was really, really something else. I thought she did such a great job. And then, I don't know, I've been, you know, just watching all the miniseries. I finished The Dropout with Amanda Seyfried.
Oh, okay. What do you think? I haven't seen it.
So we're going to get to what I could do without. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But, like... What I want to talk, Amanda Seyfried, she's so good. Like, I've been a fan of hers since, you know, Mean Girls.
Yeah,
and sure. Then, of course, we all know how I felt about her in Mank. And I just think that she's so good in this. Like, just her performance is really stunning to me. And then, you know, I've also been watching the girl from Plainville. This is like back-to-back-to-back advertising for Hulu. I also just realized that I'm working the Hulu account right now. But Elle Fanning in The Girl from Plainville, she's just remarkable.
Great.
And I've been a fan of hers also. I watched The Great, which is also a Hulu series, and don't recommend it to everyone, but I enjoy it. And she's just great, and her on Girl from Plainville I think is fantastic. I just think that, you know, this... I don't know if it's I know it happened before Kate Winslet, obviously, but I feel like there's been this sort of move to the prestige miniseries and actors really getting to Big Little Lies was a big thing.
That's
and
true.
And so it's been coming along for a while, but I'm just really enjoying these women. I'm enjoying these women on miniseries and them getting to like show what they can do. I like an actress.
Yeah, I do too. That's wonderful.
Yeah. How about you? What are you digging right now?
Well, I actually have two things that I'm digging. One is, y'all know that I enjoy the reality TV, and there's a show on Amazon Prime called Lizzo's Watch Out for the Big Girls.
Gotcha.
I think it's so fun, and it's just a departure from, I mean, you can just watch it and feel joy. It's basically, okay, so here's the premise. It's like, multi-platinum music icon Lizzo is in search of her next big girl dancers as she heads into her 2022 tour, which I think would be so fun to see, because I want to see Lizzo play the goddamn flute with some big girls dance behind. Anyways, so it's kind of like a competition show, and there's a bunch of girls who try out, and they talk, you know, their story. It's about all kinds of stuff, but it's joyful, and these girls can dance. I wanted to get up and just dance, you know. I loved it.
Uh-huh.
I also love the idea or the thought that, you know, we don't have to be one size. I mean, this is the movement. We don't have to be one size to be healthy. People in small bodies are unhealthy too. People in all kinds of bodies are healthy. You know what I mean? Anyways, it's fun. It's joyful. It humanizes everyone. And I think Lizzo is just a little bright light. Although I did hear she's not a great tipper, but maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I wouldn't be wrong.
That's I hate hearing that. Can I do a quick Lizzo mention? Because I am that person who is often a little bit behind the times. And I think that I bought her album like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Because I remember when she was coming along being like, I like these songs. I can't imagine I'm gonna like the whole album is so good. Every song on that album is so good. So yeah, anyone that's not sure about Lizzo, it's an incredible album. Awesome. I love it.
Isn't that great? Yeah. I mean, listen, Mike, if you need some like candy, like super cotton candy for your brain, I would watch a little bit of that. But I remember back in like years ago when my friend Xavier had played this song. It's like, "Way to hail my phone." So funny. And I was like, this is amazing. It's just so smart. That was my first intro to Miss Lizzo. Okay. The second thing that my husband and I watched, and it's on Netflix, it's so silly and kind of just outlandish and stupid, but I like comedy. So it's Judd Apatow's most recent movie. It's called The Bubble. And I will say, I think because my husband does like he produces movies and I think it might have been a little triggering for him because it's all about people trying to make a movie during COVID. And it's outlandish. Like I said, it's just beyond. It's big. But it's fun. And I think Leslie Mann's amazing. Their daughter, I think is it Maude or the other one? There's two. I don't know. Whatever. I feel like I need to tell you who it is because if I get the sisters mixed up. Because you know how he always puts, Judd Apatow always puts his daughters and Leslie Mann is his wife in. Her name's Iris. She's the baby. She's the one like in, like I want to say Knocked Up. She was like literally a baby. Craziness. But she's a big girl now. And everybody's good in this. I would say there's some growth parts. So just prepare for that. I really love Peter Serafinowicz. Do you know who that is? I'm going to just make a goal to bring back the spy movie every time he's in Spy and he's the guy who picks her up from the airport, like the Italian man, but then he keeps switching his accent. Yeah, yeah. He's a freaking good actress. Anyways, there's a bunch of people in it, but I would say if you'd like to have a nice, funny laugh with a little bit of gross humor, I recommend it.
All right.
It's cool. A full movie. Yeah.
Full movie.
Full movie. Not a series. It is full movie.
That's fun. That's fun. So what could you do without this week? Anything in particular?
Yeah, you know, I don't have anything super particular because I feel like when I get super busy, Mike, it's just like, let's move forward. That was horrible. Let's move forward. That was awful.
That's probably healthy.
Let's move forward. Oh, God. I don't know if I'm going to be able to walk after that one. Let's move forward. So anyways... I'm just going to pick the first thing that kind of came to my mind because Adam and I, my husband and I just started watching Mrs. Maisel again. I have to just completely 100% agree with you on the we need a previously on.
It makes me crazy.
What the hell? I mean, we haven't seen you guys for 2 years and now it's like I feel like I would have enjoyed what's happening way more. I mean, there's funny things, but it takes me so long to catch up. I really feel like I need to go back and watch the last episode. I'm kind of annoyed. I'm irritated with you. All of the Mrs. Maisel staff or whatever, whoever made that decision, I'm mad at you. It's not a good idea.
Yeah, it's aggravating.
Like, tell me why she got fired. What was the joke that got her fired? I can't even remember. It's been so long. So just there's my, I could do without.
I feel you. You know that I'm on your side with that one. Because it took me like half the season to like get my brain into the right spot. And then it's only like 8 episodes. So then I had like 4 episodes that I'm like, okay, I kind of give, oh, we're over, we're done. Okay, bye.
Yeah, I know. Okay, wait, I have one more I could do without.
Gotcha.
It's just to bring it back to my beautiful youngest child. Glue, scissors, my carpet. Some gloves, some beautiful satin gloves that I had. They weren't that expensive. He cut them up. And then we went to like an outdoor sort of thing for his preschool. And the teacher was like, his fine motor skills are amazing. Like his scissor skills are amazing. I'm like, I know. Yeah, he's really good with glue too. So yeah, I could do without him destroying my shit. That's all. Now you go.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I have two as well. And I think that one of them I've brought up before, but things are too long. Everything's too long. Except for the Academy Awards. Those can be long. That's fine. But like everything's too long. Like, so here's my thing with The Dropout. It could have been like a 6-part miniseries. Like it didn't need to be like, I literally, if you want to watch it, just start at episode 4. Like episodes 1 through 3 tell you all the things we already kind of knew. Like she goes to college, she drops out. I mean, Laurie Metcalf is in the first episode, I think. And she's so good. Okay. So I think that they have a previously on, so you get to see her thing later on. Cause they know what they're doing. But it's just too long. Everything goes on for too long. Like episodes of TV shows, like hour long dramas that are like literally an hour long. No, it's too long. Everything's too long. I went and saw this movie that was really, really interesting. It was so good. And I was like, this is going to be what I'm digging because I love it so much. And I'll still say what it is. It's, oh gosh, now I'm going to not say the right title, but it's Everything All Together, Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Okay.
Such an interesting film. It's Michelle Yeoh is the lead. It's the one of the actresses from Mrs. Maisel plays her daughter, and I love her. And it's so interesting. It's like about this woman who realizes that she can tap into like alternate reality versions of herself to like take their power and use it to like fight this evil force that's like taking over the world. It's so interesting. And it's 2 hours and 20 minutes long. It's too long.
Wow.
Cut like it's just too long. And it just like parts of it that just felt like indulgent to me that I was like, it's too much. Anyways, yeah. That's just my personal complaint.
Noted.
Here's the other thing they have to bring up because I saw a double feature in Broadway theaters yesterday. Turn off your damn phones. Why are your phones on? Why do you think you're the phone that doesn't need to be turned off? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that I've gone to a Broadway show ever that there hasn't been a cell phone go off. Like, just turn your phone off. It's bizarre to me that people cannot turn their phones off. First of all, my phone never makes noise ever.
I was just going to say that,
ever.
Mike. I don't have sound on my nose. No, yeah. I don't have sound on my phone at
all.
Yeah,
it's so bizarre to me. Like, just, I mean, whatever. I guess some people, like one of the rings was legitimately like, bring. Like, it was so loud.
Oh,
I'm like, who wants that as their, Yeah,
I mean,
was
it
lot.
Has to be like a 65 and up person. No offense.
Maybe.
I'm not trying to be rude, but. Probably.
Turn your phone off. It's just bizarre to me. And like in the night show that I saw, it happened like 5 times.
Uncool.
And like you would think that like one phone would go off and you would have like the gripping panic of like,
yes!
Oh, what if my, like,
oh my God.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
If it was me, I would die. Yeah. I second that.
Awful.
That's right.
So let's go to a happier topic. Okay. I wanted to talk about spring break in general because you just had... You just had your spring break. And I don't know if you, like, do you have memories of spring break? Was that a thing for you?
You know, we used to just go see family, usually go to Spokane, Washington, which is where my grandma lived. And my grandparents, both of them lived there. We never did. I don't remember big extravagant events. I just really remember it being like family time, basically. When I got into high school, then it was a little more like friends, doing fun things with friends. But of course, I was part of a slightly stricter household, so I never got to go on like... You know, some people got to go to like Hawaii together, to Cabo once you get to like 18. And my parents were like, oh, hell no. And I didn't get to enjoy that. But I did have a lot of like fun just hanging out with friends. And then, you know, as an adult with kids, I'm like, we are going to maximize this time. And that's why I wanted to drive. And I'm so glad I was going to take the puppers, like the tiny the puppy. And I'm in the last like 11th hour, I decided to board him, and it was the best decision that I ever made because 32 hours in the car with like a puppy who, you know, is pretty good at like the potty, but like, you know, it just wouldn't have been good. So it was good. But I wanted to say two things. If you are driving from LA to the Pacific Northwest, you have to stop in, there's two places. On the way up in Eugene, Oregon, there is a sandwich shop, and it is called, you guys, it's ridiculously good. Eugene is a university town, so they have like funky stuff, but it's called Chiba Hut Toasted Subs. Guys, it's amazing. And then when you're coming down, Mike, this is the one in Rosenberg, Oregon. Weird, tiny little town off of the I-5. It's called Burrito Vaquero. It is the best Mexican food I think I have had, and I'm saying that, and I'm not kidding. The beans were amazing. I want to go. It's like, no, there's really nothing there. I guess Mount Shasta's approaching, but like, oh my God, it was so good. That's all. I just wanted to mention that. If you guys, those are two hacks, and they're perfect like midway points. Or not midway,
really
midway from Reading. So we basically drove up from LA to Reading, stayed the night there, and then from Reading to Oregon. That was.
I was
going to
ask.
Yeah.
You didn't do the full 16 hours
no,
in one day.
No. I don't think that would be wise for us.
Yeah, that would be insane.
Yeah,
yeah. When I was we used to sometimes go to either Salt Lake City or Park City.
Oh yeah.
And that's a 12-hour drive, and we would do that in one day. Like you'd get up and get on the road at like 6 or 7,
yeah.
and get in at like 7 at night and. Either Bellingham, and Bellingham was like a 6-hour drive.
Yeah.
It's probably less than that now. But so those were kind of our two destinations that we would do. But spring break was never like a big thing for me, really, until I moved to New York and was an adult, because spring break is when my parents used to come visit me in New York, because my dad was a public school teacher
That's
and my
right.
mom also worked in the public school system. She was a teacher's assistant. And so they would, you know, they would fly to New York on that first Saturday and fly out on the Saturday or Sunday. And we'd have a full week of them in New York. And we'd always see like at least five, sometimes six shows. Like it was like a packed week of seeing. I remember their first trip. I spent so much money. I spent so much because I wanted them to see, like, we were going to see The Lion King and we were going to see Aida and we were going to see, you know, I think we went into like the revival of The Crucible. And like, there, I was like, oh, was Hairspray that same year? There were so many. I was like, we're seeing all the shows. Like, I'm getting us good tickets to all these shows. And it was really, really fun. So that's what I think of now when I think of spring break. I think it was either 7 or 8 years in a row that my parents came and they stayed in that little one bedroom on the second floor in this apartment building. And and yeah, that's the memories that I will always cherish, is them being here in New York.
That's great. Aww.
So there you go. That's kind of spring break. Do you have any fun little facts? Anything that to take us out with?
I do. Cool. I had already mentioned that I was digging Big Magic, the Elizabeth Gilbert podcast, and I kind of am working my way through it. And she had recently interviewed this poet, or she had interviewed a poet who was like struggling and with some issues. So, and then the second half, she had like this poet named Mark Nepo on, and he had read this poem. So I want to read this poem because I felt like I loved it. And it's called Breaking Surface. Excuse me, let me cup. Okay. Let no one keep you from your journey. No rabbi or priest, no mother who wants you to dig for treasures she misplaced. No father who won't let one life be enough. No lover who measures their worth by what you might give up. No voice that tells you in the night it can't be done. Let nothing dissuade you from seeing what you see or feeling the winds that make you want to dance alone or go where no one yet has gone. You are the only explorer, your heart, the unreadable compass, your soul, the shore of promise, too great to be ignored.
That's amazing. Yeah, it's beautiful. I feel like you should have gone last, because that's a really good way to end.
No, it's fine. That was like the dinner. Now you're going to give us a little dessert. Go.
Yeah. So, cause mine was just, I was looking at, sort of like randomly stumbled upon this article and I don't even know where it came from. So I can't even like cite it, but it was like the most beautiful spot in all 50 states. And so then I looked and I was like, well, I'm not gonna look at every state, but I wanted to look at our home state and the state where we now both live. And so I was looking, and I've never been to any of them. You know, Washington is the Hoh Rainforest, H-O-H Rainforest. And I guess it's close to Olympic National Park, which I've never been.
I've never
gone to it. Yeah.
I mean, I've been to a Hoh Rainforest, but.
That's all that I can think to. I'm like, oh, it's the Hoh Rainforest. but yeah, it's like, I guess it's like the quietest spot in the contiguous 48 states.
Wow.
And it's like lichen draped trees. And I was like, well, I guess I'll put that on my bucket list somewhere. I'd like to go to the Hoh Rainforest someday.
Oh.
And then the one in New York is Letchworth State Park. And I've been to Niagara Falls. I guess it's outside of Niagara Falls, but it's just this beautiful like waterfalls and rivers. And it's like 66 miles of hiking trails. And I was like, well, I don't know. Maybe someday I'll get back up to the far north of New York again and check that out, because that sounds amazing to me. And then California. Have you ever been to the Julia Pfeiffer Burns State Park?
Nope. No, haven't even heard of it.
Yeah, so it's part of the Big Sur coastline.
Okay.
It's 35 miles south of Carmel. Is that where we went when I was visiting last time?
We went to Santa Barbara, right? Or
we went to a different beach town. Was it, maybe it was Oxnard?
Oh, we went to Ventura.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, yes, we went to Ventura. So anyways, it looked beautiful. Like, I guess once again, it's these like beautiful beaches and like, I guess like dolphins swim into it. And you know, you like buy a day pass. It's like $10 for a car to like go and park there. So I don't know. Maybe next time we get to LA, we try to make a point to see one of the three most beautiful places that I had looked into in this article.
Great plan. I love it.
Oh, I'm glad we made this work. I was a little afraid. We are, for those that behind the scenes. We're like recording this at 2 in the afternoon Eastern time, day that it was supposed to. So we're probably not going to have a lot of editing. You're going to hear exactly what a conversation between Mike and Vanya sounds like, and that'll be just fine. We're going to turn this around and get it out there for you. But I'm so glad we made this happen. I know that your schedule is crazy, and then I didn't have any time yesterday, so we did it. We did it.
We love you guys. Mike, I love you. It's so good to catch up.
I love you so much. Yeah, I'm glad we got to catch up, and I'm excited to come out. Every time we talk, I'm like, should I just come next week?
Yeah.
Should I just like come on?
Yeah.
We're gonna figure it out. I'm gonna come visit probably sooner. All right. Love you all. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex in the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores and email us at MikeandVanyaCan'tNot@gmail. We're also on Twitter. Why? No one knows, but you can follow us there at Mike and Vanya. We'll be back next week.
I just really quickly have to say that before we started recording, I had like prepped everything on my computer and then my computer crashed. And then I spent like 15 minutes trying to get it back and nothing would work. It's all working again. So that's great.
Thank God.
Thanks 10 minutes later. Anyway.